telling me I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to do something. Said, man, I can't do anything. You're going to have to do it. Throw them out. Do whatever it is you got to do. Well, as it turned out, this guy got busted the fifth time for drugs, and the little team he was on said, well, you know, we can't have this. Five times enough. So he's out. No more money. They get evicted. They had lost their double wide mobile home. I don't know whatever happened to them. That is one example of what I'm talking about. And I've got about 250 more of them.
Was all that in one day?
No, that was over a period, actually over a period of about 6 months, maybe 7 months, from the time he got drafted until he got cut for drug, you know, and all that other stuff. It's they go to college, they get their college paid for, and one particular university here in South Carolina actually got caught for letting these guys pass basket weaving courses and ceramic classes, you know, and besides, there wasn't a professor at this university that would have dared to fail a football player than if he was any good at all, if he even played the down in any game. There's no professor going to take on the athletic director and football coach. That just doesn't happen.
I saw that in my own high school.
Well, I did too, yeah, but you know.
We just got our color back.
We got color?
I'm
cool.
Trying to get the chroma key to work again now.
Well, I guess that means I didn't piss off the Clintons.
Oh, they just got over it.
Of course, they didn't know I existed. They didn't know I threatened to run over all their cars. But
what was Patrick's political thing last night?
You'll have to go back and listen to it. He had some good angles on this. Patrick had some good angles.
Well,
is he for it or against it?
Oh, yeah. You got color back, Jeff.
I've got the green screen, but I can't get it chroma keyed now.
Well, we're in the green room, like Green's Liquor Store. You know, that kind of thing.
Now we're talking.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I see trees
we're
coming.
We're talking now, man. I don't know. The problem is I don't know what I did to fix it. I can't recreate this thing. Yeah, we got the wind blowing in the palm trees.
Right, cool.
We're back. All right, we're back. That's good.
Alex is on.
Foosball is the devil.
So is Patrick on there? We could get Patrick to call in and give us his, or I could put him on Skype.
Yeah, we need Patrick's view. Some of us, like me, didn't hear Patrick
on the
last
chat?
Night.
Does anybody know?
I have not seen him on.
Is he for it or against it, though? That's the question.
For or against what?
The taking a knee.
He's against it.
Well, anybody.
Good for him.
And he's from Connecticut.
Yeah, I don't see him.
Well, what can I say?
All right, so let's get into some racing.
All right, let's get into some racing.
Nobody wants to talk about
it. Well,
racing.
It might be hard to do on my part since I didn't see anything this week.
Take
well,
it away,
the good thing I think about again.
Well, we can talk what? About Coastal Speedway in 1957 or something.
Well, it had a race at New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And it looked about like every other race this whole year.
Rigged.
If the 78 wasn't leading, the 18 was, and one of them wound up winning, the other one wrecked and still almost won. So.
The longer I watch this season, the more I think that the whole thing is rigged.
I was trying to remember a race this year that somebody else legitimately won. I know there's been Kyle Larson has stolen a couple at the last second. But has anybody actually won a race that just outrun the 78 car? Or has it been recently? If it is,
the first part of the year, the Toyotas couldn't outrun their own shadow. And then all of a sudden,
starting.
Yeah.
Something changed.
It all looks too contrived to me.
Yes. Absolutely. I agree.
A bunch of what?
Conspiracy theories.
Yes,
can
sir.
Can you say sandbag?
Can you say rigged?
Yeah.
It seems like there's a couple of Toyotas that if they get caught for speeding on pit road or if they have a bad pit stop and they end up way back in the field or at the end of the longest line or whatever that might be, it just doesn't take them but a few laps and they have zipped through the entire field. Yet any other car that that happens to seems to be mired in the pack for the rest of the race.
All that dirty air and all that mess, yeah. It doesn't affect them.
It doesn't seem to affect it. A couple of specific Toyotas.
Even with the left rear fender bent out
right.
on the 78, he almost finished third. He lost that at the last second of the race. He was in third place with the fender tore off.
Huh. Now, are any of the body styles...
I mean,
styles...
it's the kind of thing where you just watch them.
Do what?
They all qualify up front. They all run out front. They run away from everybody else. You know, there's just something somewhere that Toyota bought that NASCAR has let them have that nobody else has got.
Doesn't NASCAR issue the chips for the fuel injection system that they have today?
That's
isn't
what
that,
I understand.
Isn't that the way it works? Rigged.
Yeah.
Well, who's to say that the chips they get it aren't rigged?
Well, the plates used to be.
Yeah, we pretty well know that. How else would Danica Patrick have won the pole at Daytona?
Well, it's just one hell of a race car driver.
And has never gotten a whiff of it since then.
Because she's a hell of a race car driver.
You actually think that?
Of course, man. Good grief.
Does anybody think, under normal circumstances, any other car has a snowball's chance of winning the chase other than the 78 or the 80?
Their fair-haired boy for many, many years, the 48 car.
78 is the golden boy of this,
48 can't fall out of a tree.
Yeah. And this year, since the age of the Toyota, he can't do anything.
If they took a hoist and pulled him up into a tree,
he would not
fall out.
I'm not as much of a conspiracist as Hugh over there, but I think Toyotas definitely have an advantage. I don't know where it's coming from or how it's coming, but they've got an advantage.
It is not in
body work and aerodynamics, because the 78 proved that Sunday.
It's somewhere.
They've all hollered aero and aero push and all that mess. It'd make one lick of difference. He almost won the race with the back fender tore off.
Can you say chip? I don't know. I am so far disconnected from it these days, but... From a person who has been fairly close to the inside for many years, it sure smells that way to me.
Well, I don't doubt that a tremendous amount of that went on in the past.
Quacks like a duck and waddles like a duck, it must be a duck.
When you got multi-million dollar sponsors and teams and all that,
when Daytona has
I think they've just found something.
A Toyota gate. Toyota paid a ton of money for part of the remodel for Daytona International Speedway, you think that NASCAR might not reciprocate? I'm just saying.
You think, of course. Of course they will. And it's like everywhere else, it's like they were doing an interview not long ago, and the backdrop to the interview had the only logos on the backdrop were Monster Energy Cup, NASCAR, and Toyota. That was the only three things on that entire backdrop.
On where, Tim?
It was on one of the interviews. I think Fox Sports did or NBCSN did.
Well, the camera Sunday was very tightly cropped. When the cars went down the front stretch, you couldn't see very much of the grandstand. But when they would go down the back stretch, they would pan out wide because there ain't no stands there. There's just motorhomes and mess like that. But
there's a big
Toyota sign, and I think it was between turns 3 and 4. Big Toyota sign.
Oh,
she showed up every time.
I don't doubt the dollars are flying for something like that. No doubt about it.
When the cars come down the front stretch, the cameraman tightened her in.
You know? Yep. Yeah. But it's like their commercial, Toyota, let's go places. Well, I can start naming them Toyota right where I'd like you to go. Just listen up.
Well, then the other thing is the other manufacturers, being Ford and GM, may be deliberately deadpanning too.
At this point in the year?
At this point, to try to accentuate, if there is any advantage, to make it look worse than it actually is.
Now, that could be. I mean, that's still gamesmanship.
Yeah, they could be could be doing that. But and you know, interesting that at the very first part of this year, the Fords really took off. They really did. In particular, the Stuart Haas Fords, which was surprising to me because they was the one, you know, the most recent converts, and no one thought they would have the Ford figured out, and it appeared like that they did.
Now, what? How about next year? Have they announced any changes for next year besides the engine deal? Are the bodies going to be exactly the same next year?
Well, you know, GM, they're racing the Camaro body.
And Toyota's already
got there. And Ford, they've talked about running the Mustang, but there's nothing official on that. That was a comment from Edsel Ford or someone that said it would seem like it would make sense.
So next year the Xfinity and the Cup Series will be closer and closer together as far
well,
as looking
I think
at
the Xfinity Camaros look different than the Cup ones. The Cup ones do look more like a
like the pictures we saw
something
a
about you know
ago.
The B pillar and the back of the top looks a little closer. The Xfinity car does not look like anything. It looks like a generic car with a Camaro nose cone. Or a Mustang or whatever. Right.
Which is what it is.
It's exactly what it is.
It does not look like a Camaro or a Mustang. I mean, if you view it from any way other than the front. But the Cup version did look better, a better attempt.
I thought so.
But I don't think there's been any body announcements. Dale Jr. did make an interesting quote, not a racing quote, getting away from the political version, but he said that he thinks it is high time for burnouts to stop, or at least to the point that they blow out the back tires. Because, in his opinion, the back tire blowing out thing is deliberate to deliberately damage the bodywork of the rear end, the underbody, and all of that mess. When you tear the whole quarter panel off and everything, how can NASCAR laser tech the car?
He would know.
Darrell Walter blowing the engine, Junior Johnson's engine, as he crossed the start finish line at Charlotte that time.
Now, is that a forerunner to him being a Cup owner next year?
Because
he owns Xfinity cars and other cars, but he doesn't own a Cup car.
That's a good question, and I have heard that kicked about myself. It brings a lot of, although in the state of NASCAR today, why would you want to be a Cup owner?
Well, do you think, but he makes a good point though.
Yes.
He says that he's not against burnouts per se. He said you can do a burnout without blowing out the rear tires. That's right. His contention is the tire blowing out part doesn't have to happen. But he thinks that, well, it obviously damages or it changes the car configuration. You know, the fenders, in some cases, it tears them off. And NASCAR, it goes hysterical if a car is a millionth of an inch out of laser tech. How can you measure a wrecked car with any degree of accuracy? Relative to your own rules, that's just impossible.
And you have seen throughout history, drivers do things to their cars after they cross start finish line because they knew they had illegal cars.
Yep.
I mean, I just stated that thing about Waltrip and the illegal engine or supposedly illegal engine at Charlotte. And, he pushed the clutch in and held her wide open until she blew just as he crossed the start finish line. And he had all kinds of excuses to why that happened. But anybody that's a racer knows that was deliberate.
Well, if you was a sponsor, let's say you were Smithfield Foods, and you're looking at, I don't know that the burnout to the point you start destroying the race car. Like you say you need $30 million a year. Well, here's some you could save right there.
Yeah. The thing that'll end the burnouts is something like happened at that drag race. Was it Australia?
or something where the burnout ignited the gas and it burned up a bunch of fans in the stand.
Yeah, or a tire goes into the grandstand over the catch fence.
How did the burnout deal even?
I didn't get the total gist of it, but I saw it on the news, because when it first said that a burnout ignited the gas, and I thought it would happen in NASCAR. I went, oh my gosh, you know. But it was at a drag race somewhere. I don't really know what happened. I don't think it was a deliberate burnout. I just think it was.
Well, dragsters do burnouts, you know, by definition. Yeah. They have to. But this is a burnouts and forever and a day. You know, the Polish victory lap was the closest thing to a novel celebration we had had in the modern era.
Yeah, and that was pretty cool. Yeah, you got to go around and salute the fans, and you got your little checkered flag hanging out the window.
He said that it was not designed for anything other than he wanted to be close to the fans, and he wanted the fans to be closer to him. So he by putting the driver's door on the outside of the track, and of course when he circled the track, he was very close to the outside guardrail.
We're black and white again.
He said that was his intent, and of course somebody labeled it the Polish victory lap, and it stuck, you know.
But it was not offensive to anybody.
No, I thought that was real classy.
I thought it was.
Before that, the winner would ride around, maybe with holding the checkered flag. That was pretty cool. And sometimes they didn't do anything; they just pulled into victory lane.
Yep.
They might pick up.
Remember the good old days when they came down pit road and the crew got on the hood and they rolled on into victory lane.
Yeah, until I'm sure NASCAR stopped that. Oh, you're damaging the body. We can't laser inspect it. Blah blah blah.
Oh, this was before lasers.
Oh, I know.
But now I read yesterday, this was NASCAR, Steve O'Donnell or someone like that, said, well, the burnout allows the fan to share in the excitement of the victory.
Stink. If you've ever been subjected to one, it stinks.
So there, yes, I mean.
Stinks. Well, if you had the victory lane on the front stretch right in front of the fans, that would be even more sharing.
JHE has done that. Yeah. On occasion for many years. I guess we started it with the Winston.
Yeah.
We'd bring the stage out.
Martinsville don't even have one. Yeah, Martinsville does not have a victory lane.
Yeah, if you want to get fans involved, that's what you do. It's right in front of.
Well, a lot of the smaller burnout tracks, victory lane or victory circle or whatever it is in front of pit wall toward the fans. Myrtle Beach is that way.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, again, they don't even have one at Martin. The winner just stops at on the race, just like old school.
That's what you need to do.
People go out there and stand there.
Yeah, I think that's.
There's no Christmas. There's no Miss Winky Louise. None of that mess. It just stops.
Winky Louise.
That went on forever and a day. The winner would just stop at the flag stand. But somewhere along the way, it's burnout stuff. Someone put on, is that Alex said burnout started with Alex Zanardi?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that might be true.
Could very well be.
And that was an IndyCar.
And if Alex said it, I'm sure it is true.
Who is the main announcer? Who is the anchor man on NBC now? Who is that guy that's the anchor man? What's his name, Tim? I don't know his name.
I don't know. I don't watch him.
Alan something? I don't know.
And he always kind of says with glee, oh, there goes the tires. After it's boom, boom, the fender flies. Oh, there goes the tires.
So you didn't watch the race Sunday, did you, any of you all?
I saw about the last. I saw off and on maybe the brunt of it. Not all at one time, but, you know, bits and pieces.
The thing about it is, if I had a $1 bill for every time Jeff Burton says how important one point matters.
It ain't gonna make no difference.
I thought if it wasn't so damn far to New Hampshire, I'll come up and show you how one fist in your teeth is gonna matter.
Yeah, that sounds like somebody who has lost a championship by 1 point.
Yeah, it does. I mean, he just kept on, and this thing stage racing. You know, he's got to get in. If he gets in 10th place, he gets 1 point. Rick Allen, thank you, Danny. I guess that was Danny.
Yeah,
Rick Allen. That's who does it.
Yep.
But anyway, don't forget, 1 point matters, Jeff.
Yep.
It ain't going to matter this year. unless it's between the 18 and the 78's already got so much of them stage points.
Yeah, he may win it by default.
Yeah. So, well, so he didn't even have to run the last race.
I was kind of sidetracked looking up that burnout and what happened. It was at a drag race event, but the car was doing a NASCAR-style burnout, cutting figure eights, burning out and stuff.
A drag racer?
Yep, yep. And he's back in, come around toward the fans, ignited the fuel, and it just sent a firestorm up into the fans.
Mm. Don't tell Rich Panicaro that.
Yeah. But anyway.
Or Rick Allen that.
But, no, poor Rick Allen.
Yeah, I would hate to have his job.
All right. So what's next?
We pretty well killed that.
Well, the next race is Dover. The next race on the circuit. That's always a nail biter.
That's always about 5 hours, isn't it?
Used to be. They've shortened her down to 400 laps now.
So it's only 4 hours, 45 minutes.
They've shortened her down to 400. But, you know, that'll be another 78 and 18 romp. Who's going to challenge them? If Kyle Larson can't do it, then the rest of them ain't got a clue.
Now, Dover, is that where Jody Ridley won that race one time? Back years
the truck's
and years
more.
Ago? Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, that's but that ain't going to happen this time unless something, you know, some other circumstances have to happen first.
It looks like we're about to get our chroma key back. It's going from gray to brown to purple to green. That's what it did a while ago before it came back. So we might have color back here in a little bit, folks. Hang in there.
You never know what to expect on the Goat Rodeo.
You don't.
Ruby does.
No, live radio is always a surprise.
Ruby does strange things out there.
Oh, they made Joey Logano sit on pit road for an hour.
They're rethinking that now, though.
Can they take it back?
Yeah, how are they going to take that back?
No, they can't take it, but they said, you know, there was something on, where was I reading, either Fox Sports or NBC Sports today, that NASCAR is rethinking that. They probably won't do it again. I mean, you know, it was like the discussion I was having yesterday with this football taking a knee and the difference with that NASCAR, and this guy, this football fan, was telling me how stupid NASCAR is and all their rules. And I said, well, tell me something. You explain to me why football has a pass interference rule. The whole damn object of the game is to keep the ball away from the other team. If you can interfere with the pass, to me, that's a good thing. And he couldn't answer it. So,
well, his car had failed the laser inspection 4 times in a row. So the punishment for that is you got to put on your suit, helmet, get strapped into the car, and go out and sit on pit road during the last practice session, which lasts 50 minutes. And you just sit there and watch all your colleagues practice. But you have to have on your full regalia, helmet, everything.
So is that?
And that was like Joey Logano had something to actually do with the car failing laser inspection.
Right, exactly.
So is that kind of like in kindergarten, sitting in the corner or something?
That's what it sounds like.
Sit in the imaginary chair.
Yeah.
You've got to be shown up in front of your peers. You know.
Okay.
So that was the thinking there. So of course that was before they got caught up in the take a knee hurricane.
Yeah, I agree that NASCAR may be the benefactor of that. When you stand on the start finish line and look back up at the stands when they start the national anthem, and there's nobody in the stands taking a knee. There's nobody doing anything but standing up reverently at attention with their hand over their heart, usually mouthing, saying, or singing the national anthem to a person. Even the little kids that are 2 and 3 years old do that.
Even the ones that have a big cold beer in the right hand.
There may be a cold beer in their right hand, or maybe their left hand with their hand over their heart. And I don't see a thing irreverent about that as long as you're standing at attention. The Army might not think so, but you're being a hell of a lot more respectful than that bunch of rabble at the NFL games.
Well, you know, the NFL rule book clearly states, as was quoted, they have direct directions on how you are to present yourself in the national anthem, which says you face the flag. You put your hand over your heart.
And your helmet is in your left hand or in your left crook of your
elbow. They can't even follow their own rules.
And as Patrick pointed out last night, they've got penalties for over reacting in the end zone for, I mean, all kinds of things.
They fired Tim Tebow for kneeling and crossing himself and saying a little prayer after a touchdown. They fired him for that. And yet somebody disrespects this country and this country's national anthem and flag. To hell with the NFL.
Absolutely. That was right. I was working on a protest and was going to stand on State House step chanting, "Go to hell, NFL."
So things, you know, kind of get crossed and people forget. And we've gone through so much BS from the media talking about why they're doing this. We've got to go back and remember who started it. Colin Kaepernick started it. And if you want to know why he did it, now people are saying, well, it doesn't have anything to do with the flag. Well, he started it, and he said it was all about the flag. He was not going to stand for the flag.
Exactly.
So you know, that's – anyway.
J. Howard Events owns one of the largest flags in the United States. It covers most of the green area between the track and pit road at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and I have helped unpack it. I have helped unfurl it, and I have stood around in the flag and watched at the reverence with it, with what it's treated, and I think the NFL has just entirely missed the boat.
Got our color back, guys.
Well, that's good. I hate to be in black and white.
Yeah. We are a colorful bunch. All right, who's next? Tim, what you got? This show has been a goat rodeo.
Oh, it's definitely a goat rodeo tonight.
Yeah.
What?
Who's next?
I thought the Xfinity race was a standalone race again this past. It was in Kentucky, so no Cup drivers were in it. It turned out to be a pretty good race. I thought it was pretty competitive, fairly competitive. You know, all in all, it was a good race. I like not having the Cup guys in there. Going back to New Hampshire on Sunday, it was just like we were talking about a minute ago. That was so obviously contrived for the benefit of the Toyota group that it is just inconceivable to me that other people can't see that. And I mean, I'm sure they do. We're not the only ones that are seeing it. Other people have seen it. You know, Brad Keselowski's called them out on it. But I think that only got him in further trouble with NASCAR. But it is getting quite disgusting. You know, to me, it is very disgusting.
Was there anybody at the Xfinity race as a standalone?
I've had more people in my studio here.
Oh, boy.
At one time than I think was at the Xfinity standalone. I think there may have been 25 people there.
Golly. And just think if they would have put that race, moved that race to Myrtle Beach or South Boston or Hickory, hell, it would have been a sellout.
You know what the name of the race was?
Myrtle Beach Speedway.
Myrtle Beach race. Beach 300. Mm-hmm. Visit MyrtleBeach.com 300.
Well, if they had had it in Myrtle Beach, I guarantee you it would have been a sellout.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you serious? That was the name. Yes, that was a sponsor for the race.
Myrtle Beach sponsored it.
That's Chamber of Commerce at work, boys.
Lady from the Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce is the one that gave the command to start the engines.
Huh. Was she one of the 25 in the stands?
No, she wasn't in the stands. Oh, okay. She was on pit road. Okay. I don't know where she went after she gave the command, but that was it. No, but it is pathetic that they had those huge stands. I mean, there was no way that they could close crop it like they were doing in New Hampshire just because of the shape and configuration of the track. And they had to show the stands. And you'd see four or five people sitting here and then this huge expanse of aluminum seats, and then two or three people sitting here and then this huge expanse of aluminum seating. You know, obviously, you look at that and you wonder, you know.
There were people, they were dressed as aluminum.
They
were covered in aluminum foil.
Their attire was aluminum camouflage.
Well, what was that cartoon show back when I was a kid where the people came from Mooney Moolah, which was aluminum spelled backwards? Remember that cartoon?
Tim, you watched some strange shows.
We didn't get that here.
We didn't have that show.
Well, we had that show because they lived on an aluminum planet.
You've been smoking
and
wacky
aluminum.
Weed again.
We didn't have that show.
Well, you just missed a part of life, Popper.
Well, as I live and breathe.
Yep.
Who's next?
I'll tell you what.
I just come upon something I found inadvertently.
What did you find inadvertently?
It is right in the crack of time.
Yeah, in the nick of time.
Right in the crack of time.
In the crack of time.
It is an ad for Cape Fear Speedway.
Cape Fear Speedway.
7 miles west on Highway 7476. It says thrills, chills, and spills. Auto races. Attention race fans. This Saturday night, we will have the best bunch of dirt track drivers in this part of the country racing on the nicest dirt track around.
Now, is that Leland?
Well, I'm not through yet.
You're not through? I apologize for interrupting.
All right.
Don't spoil a punchline.
I'm just reading this, folks. You really see car racing at its best with drivers like Jackie Rogers, Hop Holmes, Richard Brickhouse, God bless him, Donald Hill, Lance Sandlin, Tom Ussery, Sherwood Hewitt, Robert Hill, Floyd Flicky Gainey, Walt Zawoski.
Good old Walt, number 17.
Yeah. Charles Guyton and Craven Kiker.
Was Hop Holmes the one that drank Hop the Seagram's?
Oh, yeah, that's Hop.
And had the chicken gizzards?
Yeah. Hops and Holmes.
Hop had always had a red car and white car, number 7, yeah, painted like Seagram 7 with a little crown on top of the 7.
It always had him a shot before he shot his car.
Y'all interrupted my. This ain't the end of the ad.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
These drivers really put on a show. This is an infomercial. These drivers really put on a show. We wouldn't trade them for any group of drivers anywhere. To top the list, just when you thought it could not be topped, to top the list, Hoss Ellington will drive for Donald Hill, who broke his hand last Saturday night, probably in a fight. Everybody knows Hoss will drive a car just as fast as it will run, and Donald's 68.
Oh, this is
Torino,
in an ad?
Yeah.
Good God.
Donald's 68 Torino will mortally fly. Not just fly, mortally. Three big races for only $3.
Now, what year is this?
You just can't beat it. 100 laps, $500 to the winner. Admission, $3.
What year is this, Bobby?
I'm guessing
70 or something like that. 71.
This was in the 70s because they had changed the name. This was the old Leland Raceway. But I think they changed the name to Cape Fear when in the aftermath of the grandstands falling down and all of that.
All the lawsuits.
They changed the name. So this would have been 70, early 72, yeah. 3, 4, along in there somewhere. So, 50 laps late model, 25 rookie, 25 modified, $3. It's pretty cool, ain't it?
That's when racing was huge in the Southeast.
It was huge, yeah.
You couldn't drive 25 or 30 miles without seeing a racetrack somewhere.
1971.
71, okay, cool.
44, yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. All right.
When's the last time y'all heard of a new racetrack being built?
You will never hear that again, Tim.
And
I was the one who I was so going to somehow make that not true, but that ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Speaking of new racetracks, what happened to our buddy up there in New York with the Syracuse deal?
Head in the water. Nothing's happened.
Did they start the track? And
I don't know how far they got.
Let me read. This is a post This is a post on this thing. I'm just from Rufus Kilmister. God bless him. We went there, talking about, we went there or Little River for years growing up. Remember Rogers? Can't remember. And Holmes. And sometimes, well, Boogeyman in Purple. Sam Ard. And listen at this. And my favorite, Shallots Glenn Williamson. Whoa. In the number 7.
This was staged. This was staged.
Holy moly.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Now talk we know about Toyotas and NASCAR. This was staged.
Now we know Bobby's alias.
Rufus, yeah. Rufus Kilmister.
What's up, Rufus?
Who in the world is Rufus Kilmister? I've got to meet him. That's unbelievable.
Now that he is unbelievable. Has read the thing about Glenn Williamson. Ask Bobby what his middle name is.
Yeah.
Rufus's
middle name?
No, Bobby's.
Now I've lost my place with all that Christmas.
Glenn?
Yeah, that's my name.
You reckon there could be some little bit of kinship there? You think?
Mike Similan. Well, all right. Well, I'm on cloud 9.
Alex put on chat line, a new racetrack was built in Jacksonville, North Carolina in 2015 and 16. But that's not right.
He is referring to Cape Carteret.
Carteret?
Yeah, Carteret County.
And that was in the making for
that track's been under construction for
years at least.
And it was a go-kart track before that.
Was the last cup track Texas... in 97?
I have no idea.
I don't know when Chicagoland and Kentucky were built.
I thought they were after Texas.
They might have been. I don't know what the chronology of it is, but that was the last big track that I remember was Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth, whatever, and it opened in 97. But you may be right. Kentucky may be after that.
I was out in Dallas. I looked for that track one afternoon and never could find it.
Chicagoland opened in 2001.
Okay. So that trumps the Texas. It's on 35W is all I can tell you.
Yeah, I later found that out. But I looked for it all over the place.
Tim, we will be
now that makes sense.
Very, very lucky to hold on to the tracks that we've got now.
Yeah. He's right about Dominion.
Yeah,
right?
Dominion is correct. I would absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. We will be doing great to hang on to.
You think that's going to be for Fayetteville and Dublin too?
Yes. Oh, yes. Lancaster is for sale.
How about Lakeview? Any movement there?
There's possibly they're talking about having a race in November.
Is it still for sale or is it?
I don't know. It's probably no more for sale or no less for sale than it's ever been. You know, if you come up there with buku money, it's probably for sale. But the thing that's driving this bus is not so much us; it's the generation behind us.
Oh yeah.
Is not interested. If people was interested, it would happen. If enough people numbers get behind stuff, it'll happen. Politicians listen to numbers. If everybody and his brothers wanting a racetrack,
don't give up on the millennials yet.
It
hadn't been 6 months since we had the discussion about everybody's up in arms because millennials don't drive cars and people are building houses without garages because millennials don't drive cars. Well, when the millennials started having babies,
things changed.
Yeah, they're buying Suburbans.
Yeah.
You know, so they might like racing too.
Let's hope I can find one that wants to buy a house in Camden pretty soon.
They're buying Suburbans.
Does it have a garage?
Yes, sir.
Houses with
got a
garages.
Garage. It's been race proven and party proven.
Well, tell me again, Bopper, about Fayetteville and Dublin. What's the status?
Fayetteville is still healthy.
Matter of fact, y'all are racing this coming week.
Fayetteville is very healthy, and I shouldn't say anything less than that. But it will always has been a challenge to have two tracks that close together race on the same night.
Yep.
That has historically been a challenge for the obvious reasons. You know, it just
that's what they're doing.
That's what they've always
historically. They were always started as a challenge.
It was started as a challenge.
Yep.
And how
proven
many,
to be one.
How many ghost tracks have we studied where there was two tracks within a short distance? One started, was doing good, then another one got started to try to, you know,
and
outdo
that.
And
then both of them would have trouble.
And then both of them would have trouble.
Yep.
Yeah. So Dublin and Fayetteville are 28 miles apart. In today's climate, in any day's climate, having sufficient fans, cars, interest, and everything for two tracks to be healthy, that close together is really optimistic thinking. It just really is.
Especially when they try to compete on a daily, nightly, weekly basis. Some of the smarter ones have gotten together in a back room somewhere and decided, well, you race on Friday nights and I'll race on Saturday nights, and next year we'll switch or something like that. Sometimes is a help, maybe not a cure, but a help. But Fayetteville and Dublin never have seemed to have gotten that message, or at least the Dublin people haven't.
Well, Popper, you know, that's where your Bell and Bell series does an awful lot of racing. That's where your main two tracks, correct?
Yes, yes, you're exactly right.
Almost our only two tracks.
Yeah, so that that is a real concern to us. It just is, you know, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So we hope that and I don't know, that there could be steps taken, you know, different choices that may have resulted in a different result. Things could have been done, but to just go head to head is almost a sure path to failure. You know, it just almost is.
They can't figure that out is the part that amazes me.
Yeah, that amazes a lot of people. It amazes, but yeah, that's essentially the problem. Is there auto racing still has an interest, but I don't know that it's ever had enough to support two things at the same time, almost side by side. You know, even back in
how were the rules for both tracks pretty much the same? And
yeah, they're very close. That's not the issue. That's not the issue. Fayetteville has been there for longer than Dublin. Fayetteville, I don't know if you've been there recently, Tim, but it is literally right beside I-95.
Yeah, you can see it driving down 95.
You can see it going down I-95, and I don't, that just, that's an advantage.
At one time it was called Cumberland Speedway.
At one time it was called Cumberland. It was built, or it opened in 1969, was its first year.
And it was paved.
And it was paved for a couple of years there early on. It's been a lot, and Fayetteville, the promoter, has done an excellent job. He has had the biggest sanctioning bodies in dirt racing have all been there this year and raced at Fayetteville, as they do every year. He has very big events. And
very big attendance.
And very big attendance. And I have learned something in auto racing and dirt racing. If you want to have a big crowd, it's just this. If you want to have a big crowd, have a big race.
Yep.
It is that simple. It don't take no more. All you got to do is somehow bankroll a big race.
It's just like in the old days when the dirt tracks used to have a grand national race. That's where they made their money for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you want to have a big time dirt race, get like a Lucas Oil race or a World of Outlaws or something like that, and you will have an overflow crowd. It is what it is. People will go to see if you try to run weekly and the next race is your weekly race, you won't have nobody there. You will have nobody in the stands. The week before you couldn't, it was standing room only.
Yep.
I mean, that's just the way that it is. It is, you might not want it to be that way, but that's, and maybe there's been so many big races that the fans say, well, I ain't going unless I'm having a big race. You know, I ain't going out there and watch that weekly mess. You know, I think that's the way some people think.
Yeah.
I'll just wait till they have another big race.
No, but that's not the way it used to be, because I know Columbia Speedway would pack them in almost every Thursday, and then every 6 weeks or so they'd have 100-lapper or 200-lap late model race, and then, of course, twice a year the Grand Nationals came in. You know, they did a pretty good crowd every week.
Yeah, Columbia went on. They went on for years and years on Thursday night.
To 71,
yeah, they did.
I think it was.
Yeah. Sometime in the 70s, they sort of... Maybe. But, yeah, for all through the 60s.
50s. 50s and 60s and part of the 70s.
And it was weekly racing.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it was. From April to September.
Weekly racing is a hard thing to do now.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that that's a viable option for almost any local track anymore.
With the exception of maybe... Winston-Salem.
Yeah, Bowman-Gray.
But
you know, Bowman-Gray has a very short season.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's built around a football field. They start about the same time everybody else does, but they have to end at approximately Labor Day.
So they've already ended their season for this year.
Yes, they're done.
Yeah, I think they sometime in August is usually their last.
Yeah, because of the fact that they racing doesn't do the infield any good. So they have to be able to get their football field, i.e. the infield of the racetrack, ready for the football season. And the last race or two or three, I don't know if they still do it, but for years and years, they had a bunch of railroad cross ties painted white, and they would drag them out there and drop them around the edge of the grass just outside the stripes for the football field. And if you knew what was good for your car, you wouldn't get off into the grass because you'd hit one of those railroad ties and tear your car up. So they avoided the infield like the plague. It made for some interesting wrecks.
I think a local track would be better. And, you know, Ramby, this is not a new idea. In 1962, Ramby Raceway had special events about, what, once a month, twice a month?
Yeah, about every 3 weeks maybe or something like that. Cause they tried to fit as many in but make it special during the summer.
Yeah, I don't know that that's an idea whose time has come again.
Yeah.
And a lot of tracks are already doing that, but to have less events but to make them more
bigger.
Than to have a weekly show that's just poorly received. So I think the time for weekly racing may need to be revisited.
Yep.
All right. We about beat that horse to the glue
factory.
To
death.
What happened to Cody? Where'd he go?
He didn't show up.
What happened to the Wayback Machine there, Jack?
He's going to have to sit in the corner next week or something.
He's going to have to sit on the track and watch everybody else practice.
There you go.
Jack, what happened to the Wayback Machine?
Well, the Carolina Race Place historic race finish petered out for the night. I didn't have time to work on it, to tell you the truth.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe we just wasted too much time.
No. I've been in Camden so much this week working on that house.
Remodeler Jack.
Yeah. Didn't get a chance.
Well, I'm glad that's you and not me, you know, because I am not good with remodeling.
Well, you can come over and I'll put a paintbrush in your hand, give you a cold beer, and turn you loose.
You won't talk to my wife about how I paint? She won't even let me paint in our own house. Richard, my brother, and he should know, said Columbia closed after the 1976 season because he was racing it then. So
right,
I thought
folks,
it was sometime in the mid-70s.
Let's get on out of here.
Let's do it. We'll be back next week, though, won't we?
Yeah.
When you
let's
leave.
Let's see. Yeah, I'll be gone the next week.
2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So we're here next week, and we're not here the week after.
That is correct. All right, folks, thanks for hanging in there. We appreciate you. Thanks for all of you to help us put this thing together, as lame as it was.
A lot of work went into it.
Yeah,
it ain't as easy as it looks, folks.
Well, no, we just make it look easy, people.
Stand up, clap
but thanks
your feet,
to all of y'all,
mean,
and special thanks,
heads.
As always, to the military and men and women in service. Thank you for doing what
so welcome to the Goat
this.
Rodeo.
Each and every one of you, good night, and God bless.
broadcasting live from the CRN studios in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is